please, and turn with me to Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. Let's begin in verse number 8. Very familiar passage of Scripture. A passage that I actually preached several weeks ago, but a little bit different message. And there's two words found in verse number 10 that I really want to call out. And I want you to recognize. It says in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And ye shall find, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good tidings. You know, as we read the newspaper or we watch the evening news, most of what we hear is bad. We hear stories about ISIS. We hear stories about terrorism, whether it's foreign or homegrown. We read in the newspapers about a shooting that takes place. It seems like every time we turn on the evening news, there's a shooting that takes place in Toledo. Just the day after Christmas, somebody was shot and killed. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not what Christmas is about. And we listen to the news, and it's very easy to get discouraged listening to all the things that's going on, especially, and I'll be honest with you, I am not looking forward to the political campaigns and all the ads that are coming up this next year, because most of the ads are not positive, most of them are negative, and listen, if we could sell mudslinging, we'd all be have a fortune, wouldn't we? But you know, here's the thing. Around our world and around our country, we find a lot of negative news. When I was a boy, there was a newspaper called the Grit newspaper. How many of you remember the Grit? It was a wonderful paper. Matter of fact, it focused only on positive news. Sorry, it went out of business. You know why? Because negative news sells. You could not find a newspaper the next day after 9/11. All the newspapers sold out. You know why? Everybody wanted a copy of negative news. The Grit newspaper went out of business because positive news does not really sell that well. Even during the Christmas story, there was negative about it. We find that King Herod heard that a king was born, and that the wise men, he told them, you go find me the Christ child and bring me word, and when you have found him, bring me word back, and I'll go back to and I'll worship him. The wise men being warned of God that not to return to King Herod, the Bible says they departed unto their own country another way, and when the Christ child was about 2 years old, Herod was so mad, realizing he was deceived, he went out and slew all the children in all the Galilee area from 2 years old and under. Boy, talking about a negative scene during the Christmas time. So this morning, I'd like to have you to consider something that the angel said. And in verse number 10, they said, Fear not. For I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want you to notice this morning those words, good tidings. I looked up those words, good tidings, in my dictionary and in my Strong's Concordance, and this is what the words good tidings mean. It means to announce the good news. And then it has in parentheses, to evangelize. Do you realize that when we go out and knock on doors and we reach in our pocket and we hand a gospel tract to somebody, we are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to pawn our religion. We're not trying to peddle our church. We're not really talking about our programs or our bus ministry or our Sunday school. We're there to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. That is what the word good tidings means. It means to announce the good news. It means to evangelize, especially the gospel. It means to declare, according to Strong's. It means to show glad tidings or good tidings. It means to preach the gospel. We have a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. Listen, He lives. That's why we're here today. And when we go out and we tell people about Jesus Christ, it is not just a philosophy. It is not just a way of life. It is a way of eternity. And we need to realize today that the angels, amidst all of the hardship, and there was a lot of hardship, Mary and Joseph had to travel miles to pay their taxes. She was great with child. They were very poor. There probably wasn't a donkey involved. There's no mention of a donkey. And more than likely had to walk. Some said that course was up to about 70 miles that they actually walked. Think about that. In order to pay their taxes, that's enough to bring any woman that's ready to deliver into labor. There was a lot of negative things that was happening. The taxation, the hard journey. But there was good tidings. And this morning I'd like to have you consider the good tidings. The good tidings that should help us to rejoice during this Christmas season. There's a lot of negativity in the world. We all know that. But if there's ever a time when Christians should rejoice, a time when we should focus on the Savior, shouldn't it be this time? Shouldn't it be the time when the Christ was recognized, and we realize that He probably wasn't born on December 25th, but you know, it's a time when the whole world pauses and remembers that there's a Savior that was born. So this morning, good tidings. Look what it says in verse number 9 and 10. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, I want you to notice good tidings. Good tidings, number one, we have a message directly from God. The angels delivered a message directly from God. Listen, there's a lot of messages that was been delivered down through the ages, some very important messages. Some messages that were delivered that were very important to me. Back over 40 years ago, I was sitting in my mother-in-law's home and I pulled out a ring and I showed it to my bride-to-be and I said, will you marry me? I got a message back. Yes, I will. That was a good message. Amen? Amen. It's been a good message ever since. There's been some great messages that's been delivered. The Bible talks about Noah, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He delivered a good message. You say, what was it? I believe he told the people to repent. I believe that he told the people that God is a God of grace, and if they would repent, maybe it would avert the judgment that was coming. There was messages from Moses. Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, I always remember the movie, Let My People Go. I mean,
You can't forget Cecil B. DeMille's in the Ten Commandments, can you? I mean, that's a classic. And where he stands before Pharaoh and he says those words, "Let my people go." What a great message. I think of David when he stands before Goliath. And Goliath has defiled the armies of Israel. And David said to the Philistines, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand." And then he goes ahead and addresses Goliath and he says, "You know what?" He says, "Not only are you going to be delivered in my hand, but I'm going to take your own sword from you and I'm going to chop off your own head with your own sword." You say, "Wow, what a tremendous message." Now, I want you to think about this little red-headed kid about this tall looking up at this guy that was about 10 foot tall. What a message. But we've got a greater message than that. We've got a message that has been delivered to mankind from God above by the angel that He sent, the angel of the Lord. No greater message than the heavenly proclamation. He said, "Good tidings." It's good news. A Savior is born. That brings me to point number two. Good tidings. Not good tidings, you just won the lottery. By the way, I tell people I win every day, I don't play. Yeah. Amen. Save a lot of money that way. Good tidings. It's not guess who's coming to dinner. Good tidings. And you can fill in the blank. But the greatest of all good tidings is this. A Savior is born. Not a Savior to deliver us from the oppression of the government that is around us. Not a Savior to deliver them from the oppression of the Roman Empire that occupied their land and dictated to them how they were going to live. For Israel was under Roman occupation at that time. But we need to realize there was good tidings. A Savior was born. It just wasn't anybody. That Savior came to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10. He came to save us from our sins, Matthew 1 and verse number 21. He came to give His life as a ransom for many, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He came to make us righteous in the name of the Father. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21, in Sunday school we didn't get there, it says, "He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Listen, all of our own righteousness, according to Isaiah 64, 6, is unto God but filthy rags. Regardless of how hard you try, regardless of all the good things that you may do, before God it is still nothing but filthy rags. You cannot please God by your good works without faith in Him, without the shedding of blood. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, we have good tidings. A Savior has been born. A Savior to make us righteous and pure in the eyes of God. A Savior that has come to dwell with us. I do not have to walk this lonely road. I do not have to walk this dark life alone anymore. Because I can walk in the light of God. And you know what? There are days my wife might not understand me. And my children might not understand me. And the people at church might not understand me. But I'm here to tell you, I've got one that walks beside me. The Bible says that sticketh closer than a brother. And I know Jesus cares. Nobody else might understand or nobody else might care, but you remember this. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. He said, "And all that the Father giveth me that will come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Jesus will never cast us away. He says in John chapter 10, verse number 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Listen, the Bible says He will never cast us away. We will never perish. The Bible tells us that He has come to dwell with us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We need to understand that Christmas is about glad tidings. Glad tidings and the fact that we just don't have to just know about God, but God comes to dwell with us. And as a believer, by the Holy Spirit of God, He dwells in us. And He is that earnest of our inheritance, according to Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 14. We have good tidings. You know, the sad thing about most religions, you have to go to a certain place in order to find Him. You have to go to a certain town or to a certain temple. And they say, this is where our God is at. You have to perform a certain ritual and you have to burn a certain type of incense, or you have to go through some type of custom. And then after you do all of those things, they say, well, we believe that God has accepted you. But you know, that's not the way with the God of the Bible. Because we have been told exactly where to find Him. The shepherds were told where to find Him in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 12. It says, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 5, the wise men were told exactly where to find Him, and they followed the star. They followed His star till it came and dwelt over the place where He was at. We find in John chapter number 5 and verse number 39, we are told exactly where to find Him. For Jesus Christ Himself said, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. You want to find Him? Open up the book, and you will find God. He is written on every page, and He is in every paragraph of this blessed old book. We have been told where to find Him. In Jeremiah chapter number 29 and verse number 13, the old time prophet said, and ye shall search Me and find Me when you shall search for Me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. A number of years ago, before I was married, Gail and I searched. And we went from church to church. We went from denomination to denomination. I was not always Baptist. It's not how I was raised. I was raised differently. But I was raised lost. I was miserable. I didn't know where I was going to spend eternity. My grandmother's pastor would come to visit our home. And I, thinking that baptism had something to do with salvation, most people think that way when they're lost. I said to him, Brother Johnson, I says, when can I get baptized? When can I get baptized? His response was, well, when you get old enough to understand, then we'll baptize you. Now, that people need to understand why they're getting baptized. He never shared the gospel with me. I was a young boy that understood what sin was. I remember every year when he'd come to visit my grandmother, I'd ask him the same thing. Starting at the age of probably about 8 years old, he would come and I asked him the question. And when I was 9, I asked him the question. When I was 10, I asked him the question. When I was 12, I asked him the question. Never shared the gospel with me. At the age of 13, I didn't ask anymore. And if I would have died when I was 13, I would have went to hell because I was lost, and I knew I was lost. Gail and I started dating, and we went from church to church. I remember talking to her grandmother's pastor. And I talked to him, and he talked about his denomination. He talked about my grandmother's denomination. He talked about sports. He came over to our home. He talked about a lot of things. He never talked about Jesus Christ. As he came into the home, I was lost. As he left our home, I was lost. And I had no idea how to be saved. Gail and I went to some churches, and we visited some churches and of different denominations, and I remember the one denomination in the church where we were married at. Three guys came to our door. And they said, we are the financial committee of our church. I said, oh. And we are coming here to try to raise money for our church. I thought, listen, buddy, I'm so poor I can't even pay attention. You're asking me? I'm 20 years old and I don't have any money. And for 45 minutes they give me a spiel about these three financial officers, how that people, because we were married in that church and my wife was actually a member of that church, they thought that we were 100% behind everything that went on there, and not that I was really opposed at that time, I just didn't know anything. And then they started saying, well, you know what? We need to have you give every week, and if you want, we can even do payroll deduction. All of a sudden, my blood began to boil. And I said, okay. He says, can we count on you? I said, I don't think so at this time. They said, well, we have to go to our next appointment. I says, okay. I says, can I say a few things before you leave? And they said, sure. I said, I'm a 20-year-old man. And I'm lost. And I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. And I said, and all you guys come in here and talked about was money. And I'm on my way to hell. And you offer me no hope. I says, you need to leave and don't come back. I understood that I was lost. And I had no idea where to find him. I had no idea where to find him. Until someone knocked on my sister-in-law's door and shared with that Catholic girl the plan of salvation. And she realized that she needed the Savior. And my sister-in-law, Cindy, got saved. And then she got my wife to go to church. And she heard the preaching of the gospel. And she got saved. And my wife said, you need to come. And by that time, I had been to all the different denominations, even Baptists, and I wasn't interested in going to church anywhere anymore because the only thing they were interested in was money. At least that's what I thought. All they're interested in was their own programs and their big buildings and all of those things. And I was lost. She says, no, you need to come. And I went. To make a long story short, I got saved. The night I got baptized, my sister Ann got baptized with me that night because she got saved. And my brother got saved. And my other brother got saved. In a few years, my dad got saved. I'm here to tell you, we can know where to find him. It's not found in a religion. It's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to understand that the good tidings are about the fact we have been told exactly where to find the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. We're told exactly where to find him. And verse number 16, he's been found by many. He was found by the shepherds. He was found by the wise men. Those who truly know Christ knows exactly what it means to find him. I found him one day. There was an old preacher by the name of B.R. Lakin that was preaching a revival meeting at Trinity Baptist Church on October 30th of 1978, and I realized that I was lost. And a man came down and laid his hand upon my shoulder that day during the invitation that evening and said, Rick, if you'd like to be saved, I'll go to the altar with you. And I said, yes, I would. And that night I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm here to tell you, God has made a difference in my life. Amen. By far, I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes every day. But I'm here to tell you, God's made a difference in my life. good tidings. We don't have to wonder where he can be found. I find him every day here. Good tidings. Look at verse 17. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They came in and they found Mary and Joseph and the child, just as they said. And after they left, they let everybody else know. You know, the good tidings is this. The message is still going out. Hundreds of years ago, an atheist by the name of Voltaire proclaimed that Christianity would cease to exist within 100 years after his death. Hundreds of years have gone by. And the gospel and the Bible that Voltaire held in such contempt is actually now, his office is now being used as a warehouse to store Bibles. How ironic. The gospel that he said would come to non-existence within a short time after his death is greater now than it ever has been. Good tidings. The message is still being told. Good tidings. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You see, the bottom line is this. The good tidings of the Savior being born change the lives of the wise men. And it changed the lives of the shepherd. And it changed the life of Mary. And it changed the life of Joseph. The bottom line is this. The good tidings of Jesus Christ, if we grasp a hold of that, it'll change you. The Savior is still changing lives. He changed my life. And today, He can change your life. If today, if you'd realize, like I realized clear back in 1978, if you would realize that you're a sinner, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. It says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Ecclesiastes said, there is not a just man that walketh upon the face of the earth, doeth good, and sinneth not. If you'll realize what the Bible says concerning yourself, that you're a sinner, and then you will realize that sin must be paid for. Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Apostle Paul said, the wages of sin is death. If you'll realize that sin must be paid for, and then realize that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Say, oh, preacher, being saved is so hard. No, being saved is the easiest thing in the world. It really is. You know, I wish when I was 8 years old, Brother Johnson would have shared the gospel with me. I wish when I was 10 years old, my Uncle Gene, who was a minister, I wish he would have shared the gospel with me. I wish that when I was 11 years old or 12 years old, my Uncle Joe, who was a minister, would have shared the gospel with me, and they never shared the good news, the good tidings of Jesus Christ. It was all about religion. It was all about some ceremony. It wasn't about Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll realize that the sufficiency of salvation lies in the person of Jesus Christ and nothing else. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, we need to realize that we're a sinner and realize that sin must be paid for and realize that Jesus Christ paid the penalty. And it's as simple as this then. You need to just call on Him and ask Him to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. If we would just call on Him, realizing our helplessness and realizing our hopelessness, and call upon the Savior, the Messiah, He will save. Christmas is all about good tidings of great joy. Good tidings, a Savior is born. But the question is, what have you done with the Savior? Have you called upon Him? Have you asked Him to be your personal Savior? Have you personally received Him? I hope and pray that you have. If not, in just a moment, we're going to have a verse of invitation hymn that's going to be played. And I'm going to encourage you to come and let me show you from the Bible, or let me have someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we're thankful for the good tidings of Christmas. The good news. No longer do we have to fear. No longer do we have to wonder. But we can know a Savior has been born. I pray, Lord, for those that are here today that have never trusted Christ. There's never been a time in their life when they have repented of their sin and by faith called upon Thee. I pray, Lord, that today would be that day. Help them, Lord, to realize their need of Jesus Christ in their life. Not just in their life, but, Lord, as their personal Savior. I pray, Lord, for Your blessing upon this invitation. We ask it all in Jesus' name.